This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
It's important to stay grounded in reality. And I feel like nobody has stayed grounded in reality. I mean, Karen, I don't think has ever operated in reality, but certainly her attorneys have. Seeing her walk out of court every day, it's getting, you know, it's humorous almost, because I mean, what we saw the other week, I did a bit on it. I know you saw that where we put the Curb Your Enthusiasm music in it. But it's literally, she's shooting herself in the foot even more every time she walks out of court and says things that just don't make a whole lot of sense or contradict exactly what she said before. And again, this probably goes back to, she's calling the shots. I mean, she's like leading the charge. I've never seen this, where the defendant is out there ahead of her attorneys and she's the one, you know, basically going through the questions and fielding all of it. And the attorneys are kind of in the background, like, we'll maybe say, you know, something if we need to interject, but hopefully she doesn't screw herself too much. I'd love to hear what these conversations are like behind closed doors.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, we got to hear some of them, because ID Discovery did a great job of interviewing the attorneys and kind of seeing what their whole, you know, the interactions between all of them. But of course, they're under a gag order, so they can't talk. But how in the world they don't gag their client? And Tony, we should talk about, in my opinion, one of the biggest bombshells that Karen Reed said.
What's that?
Everyone on FKR has 227 shirts. 227 tags, 227, when I say tags, those things you put on your tags, that they have the banners. This has been the mantra, because Jen McCabe Googled how long to die in snow, that they must have killed him, knew he was dead. I mean, this is all the leaps that they made, that she murdered him and wanted to know how long he could last out there. Mm-hmm. The whole premise from the get-go was so ridiculous, but everybody latched onto it. Over a year and a half ago, Tony, that was debunked by Ian Whiffen and Cellebrite. It was completely defunct, but you could not get people off of that. And now when they asked Karen Reed yesterday, what about the 227? You're going to bring it up? Nope. Going to put in an expert? Nope. Green's not coming up. Why? Because Ian Whiffen talked about it.
Yeah, he debunked it. Yeah.
Yeah, you have ruined Jen McCabe's life because of that. I cannot wait for these civil lawsuits to pour in. No matter what happens, they have to pour in.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no matter where she ends up here, whether she is convicted of one or all of the charges or none, or it's a hung jury, whatever happens here, those civil suits are coming. She's going to be in court for a very, very long time. And there's a lot... You know, there's a lot more they can dig into in a civil suit in terms of evidence and discovery and everything that they need to find if they want to find it. And that's not going to be good for Karen. I just, gosh, all of this because a person, what it appears to be is they didn't want to be responsible for an accident. And at the end of the day, this all could have been done by now. She could have served whatever she needed to serve, maybe even nothing, and could have been on with life, and everybody could have been healing and trying to move on. But instead, it's turned into this insane apocalyptic warfare land between FKR and everybody else, all based on just, I don't want to be responsible. And I'm just going to keep telling you all this and knowing damn well what happened. Do you think she knows what happened? Do you think, or do you think it's still a big brownout area, and the easiest thing for her was to simply go and say, I'm going to believe Alan Jackson and the mystery man that came in and said, look at the people in the house. And that's just where her mind went. It was easier to digest that way rather than focus on accountability for a horrible, horrible accident.
I 100% think she knows exactly what happened. Maybe not exactly from the standpoint of she was drunk, and I don't think she meant to kill him. She just meant to hit him. But I think she knows she did it. And I'm going to tell you what I base that on. I base that on clear back in the day when she was arrested initially. Yannetti standing up before the court and saying, this was a horrible accident. There was no intent on the behalf of my client. My client loved him. And he said it in court and also on the courthouse stairs. You would not have that posture after talking to your client and her saying what happened. You would not have that posture if you thought somebody else murdered him.
Yeah.
So that is the basis for me believing she, good and well, and I'm not even talking about all the things she's said since then, that also bolster that. But let's just go back to the beginning, Tony. It's so clear she knew.
You think Yannetti is sitting there going, see, we should have just done it my way the whole time.
Yeah, I really do. I do think that because, but if you get down to why on ID Discovery, at the very end of that docuseries, out of everything that happened in that docuseries, this is the thing that stuck out to me. She said, I could not go to jail one day. One day, 100 days, it's all the same to me. Mm-hmm. Paraphrasing, but if you go back and get that clip, that to me is why she was willing to go to these lengths and no holds barred.
Yeah. Just no regard for anybody. And is that also too part of the factor here psychologically why we have the FKR movement? Is it because people, although it doesn't make a lot of sense in with the same argument, is you look at her and you go, no one's that evil. No one would ruin all these people's lives if they knew that they did it. That's just not possible. That wouldn't be the thing. So it's easier to believe that Karen is not possibly that person. And it's just an easier world to wrap one's mind around, because otherwise you have to accept there's some pretty nefarious people out there, Karen being one of them. But at the same point, if you're to believe the theory, you're believing that there's this whole cabal of people in this town and everybody's connected to everything and everybody's all ready to conspire at the drop of a dime because I don't know who the ringleader is, but somebody must be the ringleader that says, we're going to do this. We're going to say this and everyone must follow. That's a scarier world to live in than a borderline Karen Reed or whatever the hell she is. Acting like someone with those symptoms do. I don't know. It baffles me because I'm trying to wrap my mind around why there's this huge divide and why people are willing to believe such nonsense.
Well, I think you make a really good point. From the people that I've talked to that knew Karen Reed and first knew Karen Reed that were friends of John O'Keefe's, they all say they liked Karen. And initially, she's one of those people, and we all know these people, that when you first meet them, they're really nice. They go overboard. Yeah. They want to buy your lunch. Mm-hmm. They shower you with gifts. One woman told me that she gave her, I think, a $400 sweater after meeting her once. Mm-hmm. They do everything to ingratiate themselves on a very surface level. And they also do a good job of keeping everybody out of the beyond surface level, right? So you only get to know this, sweet persona that is not what is below, the surface.
The engine that's running it.
Yeah, it's awful.
And it's called love bombing. I mean, it's typically in a relationship is where you'd see that. But folks like this, they'll do it to anybody, and that's what it is. It's you're this and that. I got a very interesting email the other day, and so take it for what it is. And the person wants to be anonymous, and that's fine. But it's someone who went to school with Karen Reed. Because I've been asking, what was life like? What was her personality like back then? And allegedly, according to this person, Karen's been Karen her whole life. A lot of manipulation, a lot of, there was a story, again, this is all just alleged. There was a story in there that essentially hinted that Karen, she would pick people out. And apparently one year she just kind of, she picked on one person who she kind of viewed as a threat to her popularity, whatever it may be, and just made life hell for this kid. And again, all alleged, but very much down the road of, character. If you're trying to look at the arc of the character here, it sounds very much like what a young Karen may be up to when kids are like that, and kids are petty, and kids are mean, and kids are out for themselves. It just sounds like she never really left that world of being a 14-year-old mentally.
Yeah, you know, I always say people do not change who they are, right? Mm-hmm. What is this adage? The stripes don't change, however you want to say it.
Yeah.
Yes, you can be like a tree and get deeper roots, and your branches grow out and you expand, but you don't change. If you're an oak, you're an oak.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is no doubt in my mind, and I have similar messages that mm-hmm. have come to me, not from somebody from high school, but from somebody else mm-hmm. that was actually involved with her. And wow, it's frightening. I mean, it's the true, again, allegedly mm-hmm. bunny burner, boiler, whatever you want to call it, scenario. Total control of everybody mm-hmm. she's around. That's what we're dealing with. And we've seen it. We've seen it in court. We've seen it on the courthouse steps. We've seen it in these docuseries. But, you know, again, unless they come forward and are willing to testify, it's all just hearsay.
Yeah.
But it makes a lot of sense, Tony. And I could tell you, in the FBI world, when you go with some of these con men or other people who are involved in domestic violence situations, they don't change.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's like you are never going to beat a woman.
No.
You know, I'm never going to come home and beat up on my husband.
Yeah.
That's how foreign it is to these people not to talk to their significant others like she talked to John on those voicemails.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they roll.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not in a vacuum. I mean, it's a pattern of behavior. And that's why I've been curious about this whole thing just psychologically from the beginning, because it's like, okay, this is the patterns that she's demonstrating left and right. I'm curious as to what it was like before John. And again, all allegedly, all, you know, hearsay. But you have heard, I have heard, a lot of people have heard similar stories about Karen, and you know, just a way that she didn't accidentally kill somebody, but still very much acted like the Karen that we seem to know and love today. yeah,
it's the Karen that gives her namesake.
Yeah,
I keep wondering which Karen came first.
I know. I mean, yeah. I mean, this is this is not helping the world of Karens out there.
No,
this is,
I've had so many people named Karen on my Twitter platform say, gosh, I hate that my name is Karen right now.
Yeah.
You're not Karen. Don't you worry about it. But it's interesting. But back really quickly to Karen Reed and in this trial, if she's convicted, I think we're going to get many more people that are willing to come forward as to her history, her 40 years of life. And the second thing I was going to say is, in regard to this train or snowball, if you want to call it, that started out as a small snowball and just took life, and you're now getting your kids out of school to come watch the trial in the first era, and just insanity behind this, it really became like a carnival. And I think people got swept up in that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really what happened. They were part of something, is what I'm trying to say.
And people, I mean, we strive as human beings to be part of something and want to be part of something that we believe, at least most of us, that we believe is good and right. And if there's an injustice going on, we want to expose it. And if you truly believe that this was an injustice, I get how one would get behind it. At the surface, it did look really shady with everything that we had heard about the police and all of that. And then we took the time as grownups to sit down and evaluate it, and the FBI evaluated it. And then we found out, oh, okay, yeah, there's certainly some stuff here that could have been done better. And some of these behaviors are pretty not great, especially when you start tying in the Birchmore case. And, you know, just it shows a weird atmosphere where it seems a lot of things are possible. But then you look at it closer and go, okay, yeah, so there's a lot of things that are possible, but are there a lot of things here that are remotely likely? Or things that we have facts for or don't have facts for or can disprove or prove? And it turns out the main things we can prove here are things that Karen did, not what others did to Karen Reed. And that, at the end of the day, by her own admission, by the evidence that has come to light, none of this is looking like she's innocent. I don't see anything here that remotely points to innocent. The only thing I can see is that maybe she didn't intend to do it. But even that, in this case, seems to have gotten a lot thinner in skin, where, I don't know, it's not hard to punch that one open and say, yeah, I think there might have been some intent here. I don't know.
And if anybody has any questions, just go look at the ARCA video.
Yeah. At the end of the day, yeah, look at the ARCA video. Yeah, it's damning. And yeah, we'll see what is yet to come here. There's still probably, what do you think, another 2 weeks left in this?
I don't know. I think they're going to wrap up this week. And I think we're going to see closing Friday, maybe Monday. I think it's going to be certainly within the next 10 days.
Do you think it's going to be a quick jury choice where they come back with their verdict? Or you think they're going to sit there for a while and have some questions? Where do you think they're sitting?
Well, I think how long they take is going to be huge indications. I think if it comes back quick, we're going to see guilty, guilty, guilty. I think the longer it protracts, it's going to be hung or guilty on only a certain number of charges. So I hope it's quick.
I hope Bev is as clear as she possibly can be to this jury of here's what you can choose. And we don't end up with, well, we thought we could have, we didn't know that. No, here's how we do this. Come back with your answers, and then we can wrap this thing up. But I have a feeling this is just going to keep going on in many ways, shapes, and forms. Maybe another criminal trial. I mean, could she be charged criminally for any of this? If at the end of the day she's found guilty, and we look at what she was saying and the accusations that were made against these off. I mean, are there other possible things that she could be charged with after the fact here?
Oh, 100%. I'm waiting on bated breath to see if she's charged in the conspiracy with Turtle Boy to harass and intimidate witnesses, the witnesses against her. And initially that was not indicted, but that was before they got a hold of the phones and before they really looked at everything in there.
I'm
giving that a pretty good chance of moving forward with her being indicted on those charges.
Wow. More to come in the trial of Karen Reed. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, thank you for your insight as always.
Thank you.
Craving nonstop true crime updates? Press subscribe now and get the latest cases, analysis, and expert commentary delivered straight to your feed. Only from the Hidden Killers Podcast and True Crime Today.